Are the symptoms of material existence. Everyone always desires to possess something. It is said here that desire and greed are the products of false identification of oneself with the body. When one becomes free from this contamination, his mind and consciousness also become freed and attain their original state. Mind, consciousness, and the living entity exist. Whenever we speak of the living entity, this includes the mind and consciousness. The difference between conditional life and liberated life occurs when we purify the mind and the consciousness. When they are purified, one becomes transcendental to material happiness and distress. In the beginning, Lord Kapila has said that perfect yoga enables one to transcend the platform of material distress and happiness. How this can be done is explained here. One has to purify his mind and consciousness. This can be done by the Bhakti Yoga system. As explained in the Narada Pancharatra, one's mind and senses should be purified. One's senses must be engaged in devotional service to the Lord. That is the process. The mind must have some engagement. One cannot make the mind vacant. Of course, there are some foolish attempts to try to make the mind vacant or void. But that is not possible. The only process that will purify the mind is to engage it in Krishna. The mind must be engaged. If we engage our mind in Krishna, naturally the consciousness becomes fully purified, and there is no chance of the entrance of material desire and greed. Devahuti, the mother of Lord Kapila Dev, has taken complete shelter of her son, knowing him to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. She has accepted him as her spiritual master. And in a mood of very sincere devotion, she's inquiring from him. By all material standards, Devahuti was in a distressful condition of life. She was born as the daughter of the king of all of humanity, Svayambhuva Manu, living in the most luxurious possible conditions. She was so beautiful, endowed with such excellent qualities. Even the demigods from the higher planets, when they would look down from their airplanes and see her playing while she was a small girl, they would become so much captivated by her good qualities that they would fall from their airplanes onto the ground. Have you ever met a woman who has such qualities? Yet, her father, who was a great devotee of the Lord, a very powerful king, she wanted her to marry a person who could actually give her the greatest benefits in her life. Generally, parents consider what is the education, what is the earning power, what type of house will they live in. But Swayambhuvamanu was thinking only, will my daughter go back to Godhead? Will she attain unmotivated, uninterrupted, loving service to Krishna? This is the real consideration of life. So she married him to Karadama Muni. Karadama Muni was a rishi who was living in the jungles. After they were married, Karadama Muni was so much immersed in his devotional service to the Lord that he completely forgot about his own body or mind. And in the process, he forgot about his wife's body and mind. So he would be absorbed in tapasya. Now Devahuti, she could have said, Kardamaji, get out of your samadhi. Do you know who I am? I'm a princess. I could have been queen. Give me what I need. But she patiently waited. She would not eat until after her husband would eat. And he never ate. Therefore, she was starving. She would not bathe until after her husband would bathe. And he was in samadhi for weeks, months, years at a time, so she never got to bathe. After some time, her beautiful silken hair became matted locks. Her most beautiful form became emaciated. Her illustrious golden complexion became pale and colorless. Her eyes became sunken. But she never ever complained. She gratefully served her husband, knowing that he was a great devotee of the Lord. When Kardama Muni saw his wife, he was so much obliged by her sincere desire to serve. His heart felt sympathy. He was thinking, every woman desires to have a child. I have not given her a child. He didn't desire a child so much, but he understood what was her desire. And then the Supreme Lord, who was in both of their hearts, who wanted to take birth from this divine relationship, he somehow invested the understanding in his heart that a child must be born. But in this situation, how is it possible? Kardama Muni was such a great devotee that there was a lake called Bindu Sarovar. And seeing the tapasya and the loving service of Kardama Muni, that lake was filled with the tears of the Supreme Personality of Godhead for his devotee. Oh, it is a long and beautiful story. But in summary, Kardama Muni, by his mystic powers, he put his wife in a place to take bath. And there was all celestial ladies to help her and restore her original beauty and combed her hair very nicely, fed her nice prasad. And then in order for them to engage in this service to the Lord, it was required that they had a nice place. So Kardama Muni, he, by his own powers, he created a beautiful, beautiful mansion that could fly in the sky. Not like the airplanes today. You go on these airplanes, and there's so many dangers, and you have to fasten your seatbelt, and there's vomit bags in front of you in case there's turbulence. You're sitting down thinking, when will this plane land? And you try to walk around, and people are crushing into you, and you have to go to the bathroom, and there's a line, you have to wait. All sorts of miseries. But this airplane had beautiful golden mansion with jewels everywhere. And there was gardens and trees and lakes and beautiful not hostesses and the beautiful celestial beings serving. And it could fly anywhere to any planet within a matter of moments. It was in this situation that Kardama Muniji first gave 9 daughters to Devahuti and then impregnated within her the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Kapiladeva. When Kapiladeva grew a little older, Kardama Muni explained to his wife, now you have a child to take care of you. I must now go into the forest to perform night tapasya. So he left to take the renounced order of life. And now Devahuti was without a husband. All she had was her son. And her son said, I am also leaving. So she was very much eager to hear from him. Oh, my dear son, I am so foolish. I have been your mother all these years, performing all the duties of a mother. But I have never sincerely inquired from you about what is the absolute truth, what is the goal of life, and how to achieve it. Please instruct me. There is a series of most exemplary questions in which Devahuti is so earnestly inquiring from Kapiladeva. At this particular chapter that we are reading today, Lord Kapiladeva is going to describe the glories of devotional service. Kapila Muni taught the process called Sankhya philosophy. That means a very, very deep analytical explanation of this material world, how it was created, how it is working, why it is working, and who is controlling it. The culmination of Sankhya philosophy is to understand the temporary miserable condition of this material world and to take shelter of the real source of happiness, which is detachment and attachment to the loving service of Lord Krishna. The glories of devotional service is the supreme subject matter for the ultimate benefit of all living beings. In Srimad Bhagavatam, when the sages of Naimasharanya were asking Srila Sutta Goswami about topics regarding to Lord Krishna, Sutta Goswami replied, Amunaya Saru Prishno Ham Bhava Dhyaloka Mangalam Yat Kripa Krishna Sam Prishno Yenat Masu Prasidati. That this subject matter you are inquiring from, subjects regarding the topic of Krishna, it is for the ultimate benefit of all humanity. It is the supreme subject matter. Therefore, your questions are glorious. In fact, Sutta Goswami was praising the sages of Naimasharanya for asking these questions. And similarly, when Parikshit Maharaj was inquiring from Srila Shukadeva Goswami, Shukadeva Goswami was so grateful to Maharaj Parikshit because he was so eager to hear. He was impelling Shukadeva Goswami to be more and more eager to speak. This eagerness is the secret ingredient in which the message of the Supreme Personality of Godhead penetrates and purifies the heart. Srila Prabhupada described how we must be enthusiastic. What we do should not be ritualistic. It should be with real enthusiasm and desire. When we come to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, how eager we should be to hear. How desperate we should be to hear. The stage of Srimad Bhagavatam was established for the example of all humanity for all time to come. And what was that? A man about to die, who was in utter desperation, who had nothing to look forward to in life except death, was sincerely, eagerly taking shelter of the message of Krishna. He was so enthused to hear. He did not concern himself for eating. He did not concern himself even for sleeping. He just wanted to hear Shukadeva Goswami speak. To the degree we that have that consciousness, to that degree, the true message of Srimad Bhagavatam will be revealed to us by the mercy of Krishna from within the heart. Yesterday was Ekadasi. I can see many of you are very much eager for this class to end because you want to break your fast and take prasad. Sleepy looking, it appears that you're very eager to take rest. Maharaj Parikshit is the example. He didn't care eating, he didn't care sleeping, he didn't care any other subject. He was inquiring from Sukadeva Goswami with this enthusiasm, with this determination, understanding the urgency. Srila Prabhupada explained, Maharaj Parikshit knew for sure he had 7 complete days and nights to live. But there is no one in this world who knows they even have 7 minutes to live. Thus, we should actually be more in an urgent state to hear Bhagavat than Maharaj Parikshit. Mahajano yena katha sapanta. We are meant to follow in the footsteps of such personality. Nothing else ultimately matters. All of our material occupation, all of our family responsibilities, whatever service we're performing, it is all ultimately meant to culminate in developing an enthusiasm to hear the message of Krishna consciousness. Bhagavatam says, Shrameva hi kevalam. Whatever you do, if it is not helping you to become more enthusiastic to hear this message, Shrama Eva Kevalam means it is all a useless waste of your precious time. Better to forget it. However, the path of bhakti is so glorious that all of these responsibilities that we have, according to our natural propensities in varna and ashram, we can utilize in a proper direction under the guidance of superior personalities discussing the truth of the scriptures, then those very responsibilities bring us closer and closer and closer to God. However, we must understand, what is our goal? Our goal is not to leave behind the Bhagavatam and do everything else. Our goal is to do everything else so that we can approach the Bhagavatam with more enthusiasm, so that we can approach the chanting of the holy name with more determination and attention. That must be our purpose of everything we do. The power of Maya is always to divert our attention away. Do not be surprised. It should be expected. Maya's service in this world is to divert everyone's attention away from Krishna and the process of pure devotional service. Srila Prabhupada has asked us to read his books. He is continuously reminding us of the stress that is needed to maintain our priorities. Our priorities is to hear Srimad Bhagavatam eagerly, to chant the holy name intensely, to associate with the devotees lovingly, to perform our service as an act of sacrifice for the pleasure of the Lord, to responsibly tend to all of our duties within our society in a mood of purifying our heart and being exemplary for others to follow. This is the priority. And to the degree we live by these principles, to that same degree, we will be happy in Krishna consciousness. And we will bring happiness to others in Krishna consciousness. And to the degree we try to compromise or make some alternative, we will be miserable in Krishna consciousness. And we will make others miserable in Krishna consciousness. It is the trappings of Maya. Maya is very gross, and Maya is very subtle. She is everything. In this world, she is all-pervading on every level. She is the ultimate controller, but she is controlled by Krishna. Thus, when Maya wants to take you away from Krishna, she can do it all at once or little by little by little by little. So you do not even know what is happening until everything's gone. This is how she works. We must be very careful. Srimad Bhagavatam describes that the illusion of, this is Lord Brahma speaking from the third canto. Now who knows better how this material world is working than Lord Brahma? He's the creator. If you have a machine and you really want to know how it's working, why it's working, you ask the manufacturer. They are the authority. Lord Brahma, at the very beginning of creation on the lotus flower that stemmed from the navel of Padmanam Vishnu, he was instructed how to create this world and what the purpose of the world is. The purpose of the world is to frustrate everyone so that ultimately they understand that there is no other hope than taking shelter of Krishna and loudly chanting his holy names. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. After Lord Brahma's day, it is described how Lord Shankarshan, Anantashesh, I believe for 36,000 years, fire just starts coming out of his mouth and everything becomes burnt. And then another 36,000 years is a terrible flood where all the oceans just cover everything. Half the universe is totally inundated by water. And in that state, all life ceases to exist, except Brahma and Bhrigu Muni and some of the other sages. They go up to a higher planet where they're not affected by this. And then Lord Brahma sleeps for several billion years. And when he wakes up, creation is gone. This is Lord Brahma. He lives 365 days in 1 year and 100 such years. So besides the original creation that takes place, every time he wakes up from his sleep, he has to recreate things to a certain extent. So Srimad Bhagavatam describes when Lord Brahma woke up from his sleep. Lord Brahma's life is 311 trillion years. But it is described for Mahavishnu, this 311 trillion years is one nimesh. Does anyone know what nimesh is? It is a calculation of time. When you unconsciously blink your eye, I see many of you are blinking your eyes, but you do not even know you are blinking your eyes. But I am knowing because I see you. No one knows they're blinking except the person seeing you blinking. Because it's so fast, it's like this. It doesn't even interrupt your vision. That amount of time that the eye blinks and touches the lower to the higher part is called one nimesh. It is something like 1/36th of a second. That is what the 311 trillion years of Brahma's life is to Mahavishnu. Hare Krishna. And we are thinking, let me live long life. Thinking that is the goal, let me live a long life. If I can live 100 years, what a great success that is. If an insect lives 100 seconds, what success is that? So, Lord Brahma, when he was about to create, he was praying. He was praying to Lord Vishnu. I forgot, I don't know how to create. I don't know why. The worst part about it is, I'm taking credit for it. You're doing it through me, and I'm thinking I am the doer. And I don't even want to create, because I know what this creation is all about. It's only meant to cause frustration, misery, and suffering to others. And all the pleasures and happiness that I have created in this material world, it is designed exclusively for the purpose of keeping people entangled and entrapped with attachment to suffering. The pleasures of this world is only meant to keep you attached to misery. There's no other purpose. Now you may have your opinion, and the philosophers have made their opinions, and the politicians and the television announcers, everyone has their opinions. But Lord Brahma is the authority because he made this material universe. And he was with all authority explaining that all the pleasures are only meant to make you be attached to this world so you will suffer pain. All the happiness is exclusively designed to keep you entangled in this world so you have to suffer distress. The pleasure of honor has been designed only to make you so infatuated so that you'll have to suffer dishonor. The pleasure of good health is only meant to make you so attached to this body that you will suffer all the more when you are diseased. And these things are inevitable. Therefore, Lord Brahma has explained that just what everyone is hoping to achieve by their endeavors for happiness in this world, it will undoubtedly have just the exact opposite effect. Hare Krishna. That is the law of nature. You are working so hard with so many grand systematic plans for material happiness. But Lord Brahma says, take my word. What you want, you will get the opposite. Hare Krishna. But we're thinking, I will be the exception. Brahma said, he has his four heads, but he has not seen me. I will be the exception. Or yes, of course, the opposite will eventually take place after I live a good, happy, blissful, prosperous, opulent life. Then way, way down the long road of destiny, then I will die. And then yes, it's true. But I have so much time to enjoy until then, and death is only takes a second, but I could live 100 years of happiness. It's worth it. This is Maya stealing away our intelligence. The promise for happiness in this world will have the opposite effect. How many of you exalted, illustrious souls in this temple room today have had this experience in life? Anyone? There you go. Me too. It is just a matter of recognizing the reality. Transcendental knowledge means simply to recognize what is the reality all around us. But we cannot recognize it unless we have the help of those who open our darkened eyes. Om Agyanti Mirandasya Yananjana Chalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jenatas Moi Sri Guru Venama Guru Sadhu Shastra. They are opening our eyes to see the reality of this world beyond the illusory coverings. Until we earnestly make an effort to detach ourselves from the sources of misery, we cannot actually understand the glory of Krishna. But simultaneously, unless we are very, very intensely aspiring to hear and chant the glories of the Lord and experience that higher taste, it is impossible to give up these illusions. A devotee knows what reality is of material consciousness, but cannot give it up. This is the miserable situation of a neophyte devotee. Actually, Lord Brahma says like this too, in that same chapter. He says, a completely ignorant fool who's trying to enjoy material nature, who thinks actually he can make real progress, that person is under the illusion of being happy. And the person who is purified in heart, completely immersed in loving Krishna, serving Krishna, chanting Krishna's holy names, that person is experiencing pure, unmotivated, eternal, unlimited joy, spiritual bliss. But the neophyte devotee is in the most suffering condition. Why? It's not that he's suffering worse difficulties than the materialistic people. It's that he's trying, or she's trying, to enjoy material life, but knows it's a useless attempt. My guru has told me, the scriptures have told me, Krishna has told me, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has descended in this beautiful golden form and told us, stop trying to decorate your dying bodies. Stop wasting your time in the sleep of ignorance. Chant the holy names. We want to chant, but at the same time, the conditionings of our mind are constantly like chains pulling us, our consciousness again, to the sources of misery. And we know they're miserable. We want more and more possessions, thinking, this will make me happy. People will see how successful I am. But I know in my heart of hearts, this is just bondage. It's false ego. It's the source of all that's keeping me away from Krishna. Akinchana gocharam. Bhagavatam describes Krishna is the property of those who are impoverished. Yudhisthira Maharaj, he was impoverished when he was living in the forest. Krishna was his property. But then Krishna told him and his brothers, you sit on the throne and you be the king of the entire planet. Then he was living in the most royal opulences, beautiful homes, so many servants, armies, so much wealth. Krishna ordered him to accept it. Why? If Krishna says, Akinchana Gocharam, I am the property of the impoverished, why he took him out of poverty and gave him so much wealth? Sudama Vipra. He was really impoverished, but Krishna gave him such a beautiful palace, even more opulence than that of Indra, the king of heaven. And you know all the troubles Indra gets into due to his attachments. Indra's mind is like this. Anyone who's worshiping God is doing it because he wants my palace. He wants my wife. And he wants my beautiful gardens. He wants my position and power. Because he's attached, with all respect to his lotus feet. He's a great Vaishnav, but still, Krishna uses great Vaishnavas to teach us lessons. So with our head at Indra's lotus feet, we learn from his lesson. And this way we're honoring him by learning from the lessons he's teaching us. He's so attached! The more you have, the more you think everyone else wants it. Therefore, the more you're fearful and you're potentially envious. The more you have, the more you cannot tolerate for someone else to have more. If someone is unknown, he doesn't really care so much if someone's famous. But if someone has fame, he's always thinking, no one should have more than me. Slightly less is all right, but they should not be equal to or better than me. This may be in a small circle or in a big circle. Everyone wants recognition. Everyone wants adoration. Everyone wants a certain type of position that they're seen in. I am the best. I am the best pujari that New Vrindavan has ever had. I am the best cook. I am the closest associate of my guru. I am the nicest person. I'm the most humble. And if anyone appears to be more humble than me, I will somehow or other destroy them. This is the nature of a conditioned mind. Because this is the nature of one who wants to be the enjoyer. And the more you have to enjoy, the more you become attached and the more you become fearful of losing it. And Indra has the most. He is the president of Swargaloka. He has all facilities, all powers. But please know, he's a devotee. He's doing it all in Krishna's service. So devotees should learn from this lesson. Indra is not a gross materialist. He's not an atheist. He's not a Mayavadi. He's a Vaishnava. He's a great Vaishnava. He's such a Vaishnava that the Lord has given him such intense responsibilities. Dharmasya hivavargasya nartata yopakalpate. Bhagavatam says, when you get facilities, when you're performing service, never think they're meant for your satisfaction. They are for Krishna's service. So when Vishwamitra Muni is doing tapasya for so many thousands of years, Indra is thinking, I know why he's doing tapasya. Because he will get such great powers, he will take over my abode. Vishwamitra Muni couldn't care less about his abode. But this was his thinking. The world is a mirror of your own consciousness. You see everything according to your own conditioned state of desires. And you will judge everyone according to your conditioned state of mind. Similarly, there are so many stories of great sages who Indra very maliciously made them fall down. And how does he make them fall down? When the demons attacked him, he just throws his thunderbolt and crushes them. But when great souls are doing their tapasya, he knows thunderbolt won't work. Thunderbolt couldn't touch Vishwamitra Muni. But Menaka, she's better. Her soft, delicate limbs have greater power than the force of my thunderbolt, which can obliterate mountains. So in this way, he made the great sage Vishwamitra leave all of his vows. What kind of happiness is that, making others fall down? What to speak of a great Vaishnava doing things like that? Who knows what is reality and what is Krishna? In Indra Loka, Sanatana Goswami explains, Lord Vishnu personally comes there from time to time to accept the offerings of Indra. So he knows Vishnu, but still he's attached. What a miserable condition. In Srimad Bhagavatam, how often do you read of Indra being peaceful and happy? Practically every story is his suffering due to anxiety that someone's coming to get what I have. Often he's right. Hiranyakashipu took everything away. Indra was hiding in fear that Hiranyakashipu may raise his eyebrow looking in his direction. And then there was Bali Maharaj. Indra, when Bali Maharaj conquered, Indra asked his guru, Brihaspati, what to do? Bali Maharaj is coming with so many terrible armies, and he looks so powerful. He looks like the sun. He's so bright. How can I fight against him? Brihaspati said, you cannot get out. Hide. It is not the right time. Indra had offended Vaishnavas and Brahmins. Sometimes he would even offend his own guru by neglecting him because he was so infatuated by being worshipped and honored by others. And because of that, he lost everything. He was in the most embarrassing situation. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan Rishi, was performing tapasya, he was performing tapasya for the exclusive purpose of performing such a pastime to attract the whole world. He was doing tapasya to purify the entire universe. He was the very embodiment of the full opulence of renunciation that is possessed by the Lord. But Indra was thinking that Narayan Rishis are performing their tapasya because they want to get power, because they want to live in my house. And all these beautiful maidservants, they want them serving. He wants them serving him, not me. And he wants my power to control the universe with thunderbolts and rain and everything else. So he sent all these messengers of illusion. Narayan Rishi saw Cupid, Kamadev, shooting the arrows. And all the powers of Cupid were created. Beautiful singing birds and fragrant breezes. Singing and dancing of apsaras. Narayan Rishi just looked at Kamadev, Cupid, and smiled. This is ridiculous. It doesn't say that, but it indicates. He said, you think that all of this is so nice? And then out of his body came all sorts of opulences and beautiful, beautiful damsels. Now you tell Indra that don't be such a fool and bring him. Select the nicest of any of these apsaras, bring them to Indra. So Indra was very embarrassed what he had done, but he was very happy to get Urvasi, the apsara. This one apsara that came from Narayan Rishi, he was so intoxicated in attachment to her, he couldn't live without her. Even the whole heavenly planets were, it had no life to him after he became attached to Urvasi. So what is the use of getting something nice? And ultimately, Urvasi left him. Hare Krishna. It's inevitable. And he was miserable. He He was under an illusion. At least he was enjoying his heavenly planet with all of his other associates. But after he became attached to her, he knew, I can't enjoy anything without this. So what is the lesson? The more you get, the more you become attached to, the more discontent you are, and the more you have to suffer when it's taken away. And even when you have it, you're always fearing that somebody else wants it. Hare Krishna. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj, when he was 5 years old, he told his teachers, forget all this nonsense. I just want to think of Krishna. He is the source of all happiness. So, Indra is very much fearful. The more you get, the more you're in anxiety about. Why? This is Brahma's process of creation. And we know! So we should live by the principles by which we can gradually become purified. That is real knowledge. And this is what Lord Kapila Dev is here explaining to Devahuti. One must be completely cleansed of the impurities of lust and greed, produced from the false identification of the body as I and mind. Material life is to get more and more and more attached to the illusion of I. I am a scholar. I am very expert at what I do. I am a good preacher. I am a good singer. I am very beautiful. I am very nice. I am very compassionate. I am very charitable. I am very strong and athletic. I am a good mother. I am a good father. I am a good child. We're all trying to be best, building up this ego of I. But actually, it's the source of all misery. And after we become completely infatuated by this misconception that I am this body, I am the doer of my activities, then the next stage is we want more and more to be mine. This ability is mine. This wealth is mine. This property is mine. These children is mine. This husband is mine. This wife is mine. These disciples are mine. All simply the trappings of Maya. Sarvalokamaheshwaram. Everything belongs to Krishna. Indra is a devotee, but how much he's entrapped by I and mine. We are devotees. We have to learn from his. From his miseries, we should learn. Akinchanagocharam. Even if you're living like Sudama Vipra in a beautiful palace, if you understand everything is Krishna's, I am Krishna's servant, let me serve, then you are Akinchanagocharam. Because you are, real poverty in the spiritual sense means to claim no proprietorship, to not think I am the enjoyer. That is proprietorship. But this is very difficult. Because we have been conditioned birth after birth after birth after birth to enjoy. To think that is the goal and purpose of life. And as soon as we leave the association of very, very sincere, strict devotees, everyone's telling us, enjoy. Parents are saying, enjoy. The whole advertising industry is telling you, enjoy, with so many sophisticated ways to convince you, to exploit you. All Maya's energy. Thus, we must carefully guard against these propensities. And how is that possible? This is explained by Lord Kapila Dev. We must be very eager to replace that active desire with desires that will purify our hearts. We should run to the temple to see Radha Vrindavan Chandra. If you walk to the temple, then Radha Vrindavan Chandra's mercy will walk toward you. If you run to the temple, they will run toward you. Run doesn't necessarily mean jogging. Of course, you can also do that, but people may think you're crazy. Run means, I really want to go and I will go. Your heart should be running and your legs should be following behind. We should be running to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. I have to do it. It's not a matter of, today I will listen to Srimad Bhagavatam. Because I do not want the devotees to think I'm in Maya. In order to certify my prestige within the community that I'm a good, sincere Vaishnav and I'm a reputable resident of New Vrindavan living by Prabhupada's teachings, I will somehow or other tolerate sitting to another Srimad Bhagavatam class. Hare Krishna. If that's the way you're thinking, then Srimad Bhagavatam, who's non-different than Krishna in sound vibration, will somehow or other tolerate having you sitting there. Krishna says, as you approach me, I reward you. I reveal myself accordingly. If you approach Krishna as the deity, as Krishna, Krishna will reveal himself. Why I'm not seeing the personality of Godhead when I see Krishna, the deity of Radha Vrindavan Chandra? We're thinking, I've already seen this deity so many times. But if you're actually seeing Krishna, the more you see, the more you're thirsty to see more and more and more. We're looking at Radha Vrindavan Chandra, our eyes are blinking thousands of times and we don't even notice. We're looking at the clock, we're looking at the deities on one side and the clock on the other. When will this darshan end? When will this arti end? So I can go to my real business of talking prajalpa and eating and sleeping and doing so many other things. But those who love Krishna, gopis, when they would blink, they condemned Lord Brahma. Who has the audacity to condemn Brahma, the founder Acharya of the Brahma Madhva Sampradaya, the creator of the world, the original father of everyone? He doesn't know how to create. Why he made these eyelids blink? Because when they blink, we don't see Krishna. That blinking seemed like 12 years or more for the gopis. That little bit of time that the eyes blinked, they were immersed in utter desperation of separation. When will this blinking finish so I can see Krishna again? This was their eagerness. We may not have this eagerness, and we should not pretend to be gopis. But we should learn by following in their footsteps how we should be enthusiastic. And when we chant the holy names, somehow or other, by Krishna's grace, I'm going to pull down another bead. These counting beads, there's so many. 16. It looks such a long row of beads on the top. And now there's only one on the bottom. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram. Now there's two on the bottom. But there's still 14 on the top. Very difficult. But I have to do it. I made a vow. If I don't, I will certainly fall down. It is guaranteed. Prabhupada said, if you're not attentively chanting at least 16 rounds of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra every single day, you will be a victim of Maya. Hare Krishna. There's not too much to argue about when Prabhupada says like that. have to finish. But it's taking so long. We should be eager to chant. We should be thinking, only 16 rounds. I wish I could chant hundreds and thousands of names. When will that day when I can have such a taste like Srila Haridas Thakur to just be constantly chanting the holy names? Trinarapi sunichena tarorapi seshnana amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. That day will come when you have that quality. To be humble, more humble than the straw in the street, more tolerant than tree, ready to offer all respect to others with no sense of false prestige, and to expect no respect for oneself. This is the aspiration of a Vaishnava, to have this quality and to constantly chant the holy names with enthusiasm. And in our service, Prabhu, Mataji, can you please do this service? Is there anyone else can do it? Isn't there anyone else who can do this? If there's no one else to do it, then I will do it. Or maybe I will not do it because I don't have time. Why you always ask me to do everything? Why not him and why not her? Why not she? They can do it better. Why are you always asking me? Why I'm being persecuted? I'm always given devotional service. This is not fair. Have you ever heard like this before? This is Hare Krishna temple. When we're giving a service, we should, yes! This is the benediction. It has taken me millions of species of life to suffer through to get the opportunity to do this service. You're allowing me to wash a pot. This is what Mother Yashoda is doing in Goloka Vrindavan. She's washing Krishna's pots. What an exalted service. Yet we're thinking, why are you asking me to wash pots? I have a master's degree. I read Bhagavad Gita 16 times. I'm a good preacher. I know 500 verses. Why are you asking me to wash pots? This is the service of the spiritual world. Any way we're assisting Lord Chaitanya's movement through Srila Prabhupada's divine mercy are the activities of the spiritual world if we do it properly. Everything. From cleaning the floor, to worshipping the deity, to cooking, to washing pots, to driving machinery, to gardening, to preaching, to raising funds. It's all the service of the spiritual world. In the sense, it is all for the pleasure of Krishna. So how enthusiastic we should be for everything. And that is the ingredient that will give us the higher taste of Krishna consciousness. Not our desire to go away, but our desire to stay. Not our desire to get out of it. If you're asked to do something, the mentality that pleases Krishna, I may be so busy, I may not be able to do this, because I have my own responsibilities to do. Because after all, we cannot do everything for everyone. But we should actually be regretting that we cannot do more. We should not be relieved that I don't have to do it. I found a good excuse. This should be our enthusiasm. And we should always be thinking, is there a way that somehow or other I can do it and maintain everything else we're doing? This is a Vaishnava. We're fully engaged. You ask somebody asks you, can you do this? A real Vaishnava who understands the essence of how to please Guru and Krishna will think, is there some way and means by which I can increase my service and do that without anything else being harmed? If there is, I must do it. If there is not, then better to perform one's own duty. It is this type of enthusiasm for the process of hearing, chanting, and serving, the enthusiasm to listen to Bhagavatam, to discuss the topics all day long. When we meet together, we shouldn't be enthusiastic to talk about who's falling down, who's having problems, who's suspicious of doing this, or who's being suspected of doing that. We should not be interested in who has what and how much I want. These should not be our topics. Our topic should be the glorification of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada has spent nights while everyone was sleeping, he was awake performing the supreme tapasya of writing these books. Why? Because he wants to give us something to think about and something to talk about. We should be eager to read the books, and we should be eager to discuss these books. In the old days of New Vrindavan and ISKCON, people would read Krishna book, and all day long they would discuss the stories they read from Krishna book. Do you know what I read? Krishna killed Putana. When he was a little baby, he was hardly 1 month old. And do you know how he killed Putana? Hare Krishna, come listen to me tell you this story. I remember years ago, His Holiness Srila Barsana Maharaj and myself, we would get in so much trouble because we would talk about Krishna. Do you remember? We were not allowed to be near each other because we would talk about Krishna. Of course, there was good reason. Because he did so much service. The whole community was totally depending on the service he rendered. And I didn't do anything. Nothing. I was useless. Like the cockroaches that we see. Just kind of roaming around, sometimes eating, sometimes passing stools. So when we would talk, we would become absorbed in talking about Krishna, and then his service was being decreased. For me, there's nothing to lose. So get away from him. Why are you disturbing him? I don't know why I'm talking about this. It's bringing me remembrance of the loving exchanges we used to have. So we used to secretly meet in the forest to talk about Krishna. It was not some intimate pastime, it was just necessity. We would have to secretly meet in the forest to discuss Krishna, Haribo. But somehow or other, due to those days, we're still surviving. Due to his mercy upon me, I'm still surviving. At least, I appear to be. I'm trying to be. So in this way, the eagerness, the enthusiasm to repeat the words that are in Prabhupada's books, when we meet each other, that will make our relationship sublime. It will give a spiritual intimacy to our relationship. Of course, we shouldn't just be like parrots. God brother, God sister, sick and dying, and we come in and say, Prabhupada says in the 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, you're not this body. That's not... We should think, Prabhu, what do you need? How can I serve you? What can I get you? Your body is Krishna's property. It is my service to help you in every way. But while we're doing it, we should be discussing Krishna. This will give life. If we do not have this enthusiasm, we must perform the tapasya of acting in this way so that Krishna sees we want this enthusiasm. Then he will give us that enthusiasm. In the beginning of our spiritual lives, we must perform the tapasya of being humble, even though we're so proud. Some people say, I don't want to be artificial. Actually, I know what it means to be a Vaishnava. Rupa Goswami says, it means you have to be truthful. And you have to reveal your mind. I hate you. You're a rascal. I have no faith in you at all. You're worse than a commie. And somebody says, well, why are you singing like this? You're making operas. No, no, no. I don't want to artificially be humble. Or I have done so nicely. Look what I have done. Look at the accomplishments. Look at the results. I am the doer. Somebody says, why you are thinking you are the doer? Why you are speaking so puffed up, you rascal? Thinking, well, I don't want to be artificially humble. I think I'm the doer, so I must proclaim to the world. Straightforward. We must be straightforward in our dealings. Actual humility we may not have in our hearts. But if we want it, we will act humble, no matter what the ego is saying. Amani namana dena kirtaniya sadahari. To offer all respect to others, to expect none in return, we may not have that quality in our heart. It may sometimes come and it may sometimes go. But it is the austerity. It is the order of Guru and Gauranga. We must act on that platform, whether we feel it or not. We must act humble like a blade of grass. We must act with all respect to others. We must act with tolerance. We must live by this principle. And we must chant the holy names attentively and hear Bhagavatam attentively. This will give us the mercy of Krishna. That mercy will awaken all of these qualities within us. That is the process that we must be eager to achieve. Otherwise, what is our alternative? Either we learn to surrender to Krishna by following in the footsteps of the great souls, by being enthusiastic to serve, or we go through the same old syndrome of chewing that which we have chewed for millions of births, trying to find relief from suffering and happiness in this material forms of sense gratification, gross or subtle. Knowing well that Lord Brahma has said, whatever you aspire to achieve through your material arrangements, you will get exactly the opposite. 100% unconditional guarantee. Hare Krishna. So therefore, let us be grateful for our opportunity we have received. And really, really make our goal in life to always be humble and enthusiastic in every aspect of our Krishna consciousness. Don't find faults in others. Praise others and Krishna will praise you. Find faults in others, Krishna will simply see fault in you. Be enthusiastic in this way. And what will be the result? The unlimited bliss of the spiritual world gradually awakens in one's heart. One becomes purified. Purification is the purpose of life. This is the process. To hear and chant the glories of Krishna. To serve Krishna, the all pure. Krishna purifies us. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. I think I have gone over time. I'm sorry. What is the time? Huh? 20. Hare Krishna. I very purposely forgot to ask what time class is supposed to end. What time is it supposed to end? 9:20. Krishna Balaram Prabhu wants to break fast. Shri Prabhupada ki. Thank you very much.